playoffs. We're talking about the playoffs. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Just a little excited this week. You know, all year we go through the regular season talking about who's going to get to this point. But we have the field. We have the brackets in front of us. Case Kiefer with Ray Brewer on this edition of Prep Sports Now. And Ray, it's playoff time tomorrow night. Well, actually, first we kind of got a playing game tonight, Silverado and Basic, to finally settle our field.
Yeah, and it's a pretty even match, Silverado Basic, but let's be honest, the winner basically has to turn around 24 hours later, go to Northtown to play Canyon Springs and get ran out of the gym by a team who is a legitimate state title contender. It's a great accomplishment to make the playoffs, great accomplishment to play in the playoffs. But listen, one team between Silverado and Basic, their season's going to end tonight about 7:30. The next team, their season's going to end tomorrow about 7:30.
Or about maybe more like 8, since the game starts at 6:30. But
well, tonight's game's at 6, though, baby.
Well,
all right,
Tuesday.
All right. But it'll be over by halftime.
Well, like you said, I think you broke down this game well. It's good Forever makes the playoffs, but they're going to lose to Canyon Springs. We've got much more important games, I guess, to break down so quickly. Who are you taking tonight?
That's a great question. I mean, if I had a coin, I'd flip it 3 times, and I think it would land on Basic 2 of the 3 times. I'm taking the Wolfpack just because I think they're going to travel a lot of people to the game. I think making the playoffs for them would be comparable to winning the region. So I think Basic's going to win. I think that they want it more. And I just think Silverado's not a team that's not destined for the playoffs. I mean, they're up Thursday. They're beating Liberty by 12. They win the game. They're in the playoffs. Liberty comes back in the second half, rallies, and beats them, right? If Del Sol beats Green Valley, then there's a 3-way tie between Green Valley, Silverado, and Basic. And on the 3-way tiebreaker, Silverado gets in. Del Sol gives up a late lead and loses. It just wasn't meant to be. I go with Basic.
It's just not meant to be. One of the things you don't want to hear on Valentine's Day. But sorry, Silverado, it's just not meant to be. Quickly, I guess Basic or Silverado is going to play Canyon Springs, and you got to think this is just a warm up game for Canyon Springs on Tuesday night.
I really do, but there's a big but here. Canyon Springs has not been great down the stretch by any stretch of the imagination. They stumbled against Valley, my Chaparral Cowboys, who barely missed the playoffs, baby, gave them a little bit of a
run twice.
And it's just not the rock and roll team that you expected that was so dominant early. Remember when they beat Palo by 50 in the first week of the season? Now the question is it because Canyon Springs just kind of took the pedal off the brake a little bit, knowing that they're dominant, or are they, you know, transgressing a little bit? If they were taking their pedal off, you know, the brake, I would say, hey, we're off the gas. I'd say, hey, good teams don't do that. You go for the kill, baby. Rip their hearts out. Let's go. You're the public school dream to beat Gorman, right?
I've agreed with everything you said so far, and you hit it right on the head with Canyon Springs again. Let's just go game by game here on Tuesday because, I mean, they're all big, like we said at this time. The next one's pretty interesting. The 2 in the Southeast Foothill taking on the 3 Valley. And look, my heart kind of breaks for Valley. They have the biggest win they probably had in the last few years, of their school, by beating Canyon Springs. First team to beat Canyon Springs in-state in the last 2 years. Then they have to turn around and play El Dorado to get the 2 seed, and they lose to El Dorado for the second time. So they're the 3, and now they're going to play Canyon Springs again in the semifinals. That loss to El Dorado is such a huge loss because, you know, you're going to – if they win that, they're the 2. They don't have to play Canyon Springs till the championship game of the Sunrise, and they have a chance to get in the state finals. Now they're a 3 seed. That hurts. That being said, I still think they beat Foothill.
See, I like Foothill in this game.
I can't believe it. All year you talk about the Northeast sweeping the Southeast, and now you've got a Valley team losing to Foothill.
Yeah, and I've said this all year. You're right. The Northeast has got more speed, power, athleticism, no doubt about it, than the Southeast. And I think Valley is, as they proved against Canyon Springs, an elite Northeast Division team. They get up the court with the best of them. But I go big butt here. Now I'm going into the mind games. And I know I kind of threw this on you last minute. I just think Foothill at home, they're going to pack the gym. Old Henderson, no, nothing better to do. And I think Valley's kind of defeated because they know they can't go through Canyon Springs, where I think Foothill thinks they could beat Canyon Springs still, which is wrong of them to think that. But I think mentally, Valley kind of knows the end is near, where Foothill thinks they got a legit chance. I just think home court advantage is really going to play a factor. I like Valley. They're athletic. They get up and down the court. They're just not going to win this game. Even though if the Northeast goes 4-0, baby, it'd be because I said so.
My problem
but
with
I
that,
think this is the one win the Henderson area gets.
I have one major problem with that reasoning. Why would Valley not think that they can beat St. Canyon Springs when they already did? Foothill played Canyon Springs at the beginning of the year and lost by about 40, I think. Maybe only 30.
It was close, though, at halftime.
It was close at halftime.
Canyon Springs pulled away late. We got to go back to remember my argument at the beginning of the year. The perennial powers with stability in the coaching box are always going to be the perennial power, right? Kevin Soares has been there since the school opened in 99. They're always in the thick of the playoff race. Okay, they're not as good this year as they've been in past years, right? But does that stability, playoff experience, does that help out? Does that go far away?
I think it helps
at
out.
At home?
I think it helps, but not enough to against a team that a Valley that I think is the second best in the region.
I'm marking
they beat Coronado. They beat Canyon Springs. I know. I think they don't match up well with L-Dog. Oh, you marked it down now. You've got foothold.
Not only did I mark it down, I marked it down in pen. I've got a pen and a pencil, and I penned in Foothill, baby. They're going to win. No doubt about it.
I'm stunned Valley lost twice to El Dorado. I think they just don't match up well with them. But if you're asking me for a second team to go to war with in the Sunrise other than Canyon Springs, I'm taking Valley. I just think they're really dangerous, really explosive athletes, and I don't see Foothill hanging within – I'll say 6 points. I think Valley wins by at least six.
Are you giving me six?
Yeah, I'll give you six.
I'll take it. Plus six to the bank, baby.
All right, well, there's our first disagreement.
Alrighty.
I sense.
Hold on. Let me put the line down. Plus six. Go ahead.
I sense that we might disagree on this next game, too. Green Valley going to El Dorado. I know you're going to have the Sun Devils.
I'm going to have the Sun Devils. Listen, El Dorado 2 years ago or 3 years ago made the state tournament. Curtis Stewart is an elite player. But, listen to this, but, against Chaparral, my Cowboys, Curtis Stewart didn't play because he got kicked out of the Valley game. El Dorado dominated Chap. They needed to win the game for the two. They needed to win the game to avoid Canyon Springs, and they did so without Curtis Stewart. Now you throw him into the mix. Green Valley, just happy to be there, right? First year new coach, great job, absolutely amazing job. But listen, Green Valley is a two-player pony, right? They got two guys who scare you, and they got three guys who just kind of throw the ball around. There's no way that El Dorado could beat this without Curtis Stewart. But now they got Curtis Stewart, who's the third best player in that league behind Jared Brandon and Mikey Thompson, right?
Probably.
Well, I just told you he was going to win the game.
I think you got to look at what Hassan Henderson was going to do at the end of the year. Maybe he gets up in that third conversation. But I think he's probably third. That being said, I don't have too much to defend this, except for you got to pick an upset every once in a while.
Oh my God.
I've been riding the Green Valley train all the way here for the last few weeks. Hey, I think Green Valley was in like sixth when I told you on this podcast that they would make the playoffs. Now they're in third. I'm picking them to beat El Dorado. There's my bold proclamation of the week. Gators all the way.
And that they barely beat Del Sol the other day.
They also beat Coronado and Foothill, who you love. You love Foothill, and they beat them by 15 at their vaunted gym where they're going to beat Valley by 10.
Listen, we are the Foothill Falcons. They got a song that goes like that. All right. We disagree on this one. Go ahead. I'm putting your name, your initials next.
Is this really going to be the third straight game we disagree on? I have a feeling. Coronado, 12-2, had a really good year in the Southeast and won. Vegas snuck into the playoffs with a 6-8 league record. But look, we both know they're really talented. They create some matchup problems for Coronado. Are they going to exploit those matchup problems? And are they going to show up as the Vegas team that has all the talent that we saw against Chaparral play great? Or are they going to show up as the Vegas team that lost to Desert Pines twice?
That's a great – why do you got to throw that in there? I'm going to make this huge argument for Vegas. I've said from day one, the Northeast, athletic, up and down the court. The Southeast, not so much as so. I gave you the Foothill game, but there's no way that Vegas gets past – that Coronado beats Vegas. I just think that Vegas gets the ball up and down the court so fast, it's not going to make a difference. Here's how they're going to win. Hassan Henderson needs to play his best. Now, the kid has played in several important football games, correct? Some of them he's looked great. Others, the Liberty game, not so great. Correct? If Hassan Henderson comes to play, 6'4", best athlete on the court, no doubt about it. Best athlete in the region, no doubt about it. You agree?
Yes.
Agreed. Okay.
Agree with that.
So now you got to say, well, how is Coronado going to slow down Hassan Henderson? Who knows? Because I tell you what, my man George Sanico gets the ball up the court. If there was an under 5'8" basketball college league, this guy would be Michael Jordan at the next level. He's great. He's just too small. So, Coronado, they've got a few good players, right? Who's their best player? The Nelson kid. Puts up a ton of points a game, right?
I mean, I think you could make arguments for about three guys. But
Nelson, 29 against Foothill, 26 against Silverado, 35 in the loss to Del Sol. He scores 20 a game.
All right. You got Austin Nelson.
Okay, so what's Austin Nelson going to do when Trevon Langston is guarding him? Trevon Langston, pretty athletic, right? The lefty gets to the hole very well. What's he going to do? It's just athleticism. And just scrappiness of the Vegas Wildcats. I almost called them my Vegas Wildcats. I just think they're going to win the game. I've told you since day one that whoever the four is over there has definitely had a harder time getting to where they're at than the, you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but I just don't see it. Look, I like your Hassan Henderson argument. I think maybe if he has the game of his career, they're going to win. But I think it's hard to put that on the shoulders of a kid who, I mean, we don't know what his mindset's going to be coming into this game. We don't know. If he just has a good game, I still think they lose. I don't like the argument of Nelson versus Langston. I've seen both these kids play. I'll take Austin Nelson. You can have Trevon Langston.
He's going to D up, though, baby. It's defense.
You don't
have to be a good basketball player. Not that Langston's not good, but you don't have to be to play. It's basically babysitting. You follow him around the court, right? It's what Paolo did to your boy Haseem Nixon earlier in the season.
Dixon, but yes.
Yeah, my man, right?
But
Boxing one, baby.
I think this is going to be a close game. I think it's going to be really good. Could go either way, but I'm penciling in Coronado there. I think it's going to be Coronado-Green Valley in a semifinal, which sounds crazy. Oof. Neither of us would have picked that at the beginning of the year.
And see, the thing is Vegas has just been so inconsistent this year. One day they're... You know, they're giving Canyon Springs a run, beating El Dorado. The next day, they're losing to Desert Pines. So, you're right. You got GV, Coronado. I got El Dog Vegas. The weird part is that Vegas has already beat El Dog.
That's true.
We could be talking about Vegas this time next week.
To try to get to the state championship.
Oh.
That would be crazy.
Damn.
So, the only game we agree on is Canyon Springs. We'll come back and break down what we think will be the second round matchups. But right now, let's flip to the Sunset, where I'm going to be all week. We're going to start off with another great 1-4 matchup, I think. Centennial and Western. Western gets into the playoffs somehow, miraculously, because Spring Valley loses to Clark by 2 in the final seconds, I think. Neither of us thought Western would be in this position where they're a 4. I thought they were a lot more talented than that, which spells bad news for Centennial, because this is a much tougher game than you're usually going to find in the first round.
It is, and here's the deal with Western. Ton of talent, 1-5. Aaron Buckley's great. The Washington trio is great. What happens, though, is they only got, like, 9 kids on the team. They only play 6. How about we do this, Western? How about we find 3 other boys at the school, put uniforms and sweats on them so your bench at least looks like you're going to put a scare into some people? Then during timeouts, you have those 3 kids run out, do some high fives. I think Western, I thought Western should have been the 2 in this league. I thought they were, in fact, when they played Gorman earlier, we made the argument how Western could give Gorman a little bit of a run. Now they got to get lucky just to get in the playoffs. Well, case they're in the playoffs, I think Centennial's going to win this game late. Reason being, I just think Western, you got to have some guys you could bring off the bench to spell your other guys, especially with foul trouble. And I don't think Western has enough, you know, depth to withstand Centennial. I think Centennial might be a little too small. First time they've kind of been the 1 in school history. Probably not accustomed to this position. But I think they ultimately get it done. I'll take the Bulldogs.
I really like your depth argument there. Look, I saw the Centennial team last week clinch the division, beating Palo Verde at Palo. They won by about 20. A game we disagreed on, I should say, and I had Centennial. But not to rub it in.
It's fine.
But this is the thing I like about Centennial. They run up and down the court. They are really athletic, as you would say. And with Western only having four guys that you think are really that good, those kids, I think, can be drained by the end of the game against Centennial. Even if it's close, I like Centennial to pull it out to the end and advance to the semifinals.
One more thing before we go on. If Centennial is athletic and they want to try to push it against Western, that might work later in the game. But if Western is, trust me, more athletic than Centennial, I think you look at this whole 8-18 tournament, the only team that Western's not as athletic of is probably Gorman. The Western's problem is that they're not going to be athletic late in the game. Now, if Western gets an early lead and Centennial starts losing some confidence, I think Western wins the game. So if I was Centennial, I'd be hesitant to push it. You don't want to push it up the court against those guys.
I think they both are. I think both these teams like to run, like to get out.
You're taking the over then.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of possessions. I like Centennial. They both play good defense, though, too. But I like Centennial to pull this one out, where they will then meet the winner of Sierra Vista and Cimarron. Look, I was on the Cimarron bandwagon early. Don't know what happened. They lost three games 2 weeks ago in a row. Kind of stumbling coming in here, but Sierra Vista also hasn't looked their best here lately.
Sierra Vista definitely got complacent. They beat Western. It looked like they had the two locked up, and they lose to Spring Valley. They're just not playing up to their potential. And I like Sierra Vista in this game because I think Vico and Macy Greer are going to be the best two players on the court. But Cimarron has proven this year that they're physical, they're aggressive, and that's a problem for a fancy, flashy Sierra Vista team. Sierra Vista is not going to pound the ball inside. Sierra Vista wants to, you know, pick and pop for the three. Sierra Vista wants to, you know, try to get Vico in transition. Sierra Vista definitely doesn't want to get in the half court, and they definitely don't want to have to rely on their bigs. And if Cimarron could slow the pace of the game down to where it's in the 50s and take it possession by possession, I think they really got a good chance. But if Sierra Vista's guards are definitely going to outplay Cimarron's guards, so if they control the game, I think Sierra could make this a laughable, lopsided victory.
I got to go with Sierra, too. I know I shouldn't be jumping off Cimarron right now, but hey, look, I already picked the team I was on the bandwagon that's a number three seed on the other side. I can't do it here. I think Sierra Vista's too talented, and man, I'm looking forward to that Sierra Vista Centennial game. I hope it doesn't get ruined here. So we'll both agree on those two games. We'll go to the next game where we more naturally disagree. Durango traveling to Palo. I like Durango here. I think they got a bunch of good players. Greg Gentry, we talk about every week. Look, this kid Trayvon Wells is putting up 20 every other game now. They got, you know, I think they're deep enough. I think they're dangerous enough to slide past Palo.
Okay, here's the deal. Palo Verde, not that good. Okay, they're a young team. They're small. They're inexperienced, and they've totally exceeded expectations at 14-2. With that said, I think they extend their season one more game to the semifinals. Palo Verde is going to have that gym packed and rocking, dude. Okay, it's a school where there's a lot of support for their athletic teams. And listen, sports, as we know it, revolves around Gorman-Palo. We have to have that game in every sport, or it's not even worth showing up for, right? We need to have Gorman-Palo, 8 o'clock marquee game on Thursday. It's what everybody wants. Palo Verde. You know that chant they do?
Yeah, I just think
everybody wants Palo Gorman. You do. You want it. I want it. The TV station wants it. Grant Rice wants it. Jermone Riley wants it. The NIAA even wants to see it. It's a ticket seller, baby. You think Greg Gentry is going to sell you tickets?
No, but I mean,
and I love Greg Gentry. I've loved them all year.
I don't know how much I want it, because I don't think it's going to be competitive. I think Gorman wins by at least 20 in that game, even though they do the same against Durango. Look, I like Palo. I really like Najee Matlock and Aris Winder. I think they're both great. I think they're going to be really dangerous next year and clear favorite to win the division. But I like Durango here. All year I've preached that the Southwest is the best division. I can't not pick three out of the four Southwest teams to win. I'm going with Durango.
And I like the Southwest as a division, too. I just think that you got to have Palo Gorman, bottom line.
Bottom line, we'll move on to Gorman and Legacy. I've got my alma mater shirt on today, Kansas. I hope that Shabazz Muhammad has stopped to look at their rankings and see who's number one in the nation, Kansas. But anyway, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We're still in high school here. We got Shabazz Muhammad in the Gales going to play Legacy.
I would love to see Shabazz Muhammad at Kansas because nobody on that team would shoot the ball. That kid is like the black hole when he gets the ball, right? Shoots the ball 30 times a game.
Hey, Bill Self has worked with a lot of kids that are like that coming in. He changes them. Hey, look. I mean, I hope he goes wherever he wants. I hope it's good.
Would you rather have him go to UNLV or Kansas?
Kansas?
No
are you
way.
Kidding me? Yes.
Oh, would you rather have him go to? I'd rather have him go to Kansas than Duke. Yeah,
North
obviously.
North Carolina.
Carolina wouldn't kill me, but Duke. If he went to Duke, he would never even be up. Be a heartbreaker.
Hey, look, we're just joking. We're just having fun. I hope all these kids go to the best place for them and their family, which of course is Kansas. Anyway, let's get on. What do you think the score is going to be here? Gorman Legacy. How bad does Gorman win?
Well, see, I think Gorman. You hate to say this, but I think Gorman has played such a huge national schedule this year that the playoffs are just the playoffs. It's just like another normal game. So it's how much does Gorman want to win the game by? And, you know, Legacy is a team that, you know, they got nothing to lose. What's the worst that could happen? They lose? They were supposed to lose. What if they win? And I think that nothing to lose mentality might make Legacy a little dangerous. I think Legacy could hang with them for a while before Gorman ultimately prevails. I mean, obviously, if Gorman doesn't win state, it'd be an upset. They could pick their score against Legacy, probably against everybody in this tournament. But I do think that the fact that whoever plays Gorman has nothing to lose makes that other team dangerous.
I can see that, but I don't see there's any way they can lose. I can see them falling behind early. I mean, hey, we've seen a few times this year Gorman's been a slow starter. I know the first game you covered this year, they were down 10 to Durango. Western had a lead on them for a long time that I saw. So did Sierra Vista. Maybe Legacy jumps out, even if they get like an 8-point lead early and they'll be all hyped, but Gorman's just going to rip their heart out eventually. There's no way they lose this game, in my opinion.
I agree with you.
We'll go ahead to the second round, flip back to the Sunrise. This is going to be kind of difficult because we all have different matchups, but you have Canyon Springs Foothill. I have Canyon Springs Valley. I think we both agree that Canyon Springs is advancing to the title game.
I think Canyon Springs is obviously the team to beat. I mean, you said it earlier. They've lost once in 2 years, and I just they've got to be, what, a 7-5 favorite to win the tourney?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, if anybody upsets them, but I will tell you the Foothill game will be competitive. It'll be a good game.
The Foothill game. You mean the Valley game. The Valley game will be competitive. We'll go down to where you have El Dorado and Vegas. I have Coronado and Green Valley. Look, I'm going to say this. I'm taking Coronado with the way I have it in the bracket. I think they'll beat Green Valley. But, hey, I know I'm making a stretch with Green Valley. If El Dog does beat Green Valley like they should, I like them to beat Coronado. So I see El Dorado or Coronado in the finals, and I know you're probably going to go against me and pick Vegas.
No.
Okay, all right.
If Vegas made it to the finals, it would be miraculous. I wouldn't doubt it because I've been on Vegas all year, but I think El Dorado not only makes it to the championship game against Canyon Springs, I think they keep it close against Canyon Springs. Give me the El Doggy Dogs. Arf!
Well, let's just jump right back to the Sunset. I think this is the game out of all the playoffs, if it happens, I might be looking most forward to for this round of the playoffs. Centennial and Sierra Vista. I think this could just be a classic and come down to the last minute. Who are you giving the edge to in this potential semifinal matchup?
And to be honest with you, I think the winner of this game is the fourth team in the state tournament. Because with the tournament here in Vegas this year at the Orleans, the loser of the Sunrise and Sunset championship games play a Tuesday before the state tournament in a play-in game. So essentially, whoever wins in the semifinals is guaranteed two more games. I'm taking Sierra Vista, and only because, not because Sierra Vista is tearing it up right now, but I think Sierra Vista is a team that knows how to turn it on when it needs to. And since Centennial really doesn't have that 4-5 post-player presence, and neither does Sierra Vista, I think Sierra Vista's guards with Vico balance out what Centennial's trying to do. But Vico, Dixon, two legit D1 kids, in my opinion, without scholarship offers right now, going head-to-head. I think that would be a game of all games. You're right.
I would expect Vico to rise to the occasion. I think he could score about 30 in this game.
How come we never call him by his last name?
Why do you think? Because we can't say it. Well, you can't say it. I think I might have
Oh, yeah, you're great. You're awesome. You're money with all those Polynesian last names. Go ahead.
Anyway, I'm leaning Sierra Vista here, but I think it's going to be a great game. It's a game I'm really looking forward to. But I've said all year, I think Sierra Vista is the third best team around. So I got to take Sierra Vista.
Which would set up a Sierra Vista-Gorman championship game, which means they could potentially play four times this year.
True, after Gorman beats Durango for the third time on my bracket, or beats Palo for the first time in your bracket. All right, well, the semifinals we got through pretty quickly. Let's get to what everyone's waiting for and finish off this podcast, the championship games. Who are you taking? You have Canyon Springs, L-Dog. I have Canyon Springs, Coronado.
Well, listen, Canyon Springs needs to win this game. The bottom line is that for the state tournament to be semi-interesting, Canyon needs to be there. I don't think anybody wants to go watch Gorman win by 30 points. I think Gorman even wants Canyon to be there so they could have a good game. I think Canyon needs to win this game and win it convincingly to create some hype for next week. I'm taking the Pioneers.
Yeah, I got to take the Pioneers by double digits in this game. I just think they aren't even going to mess around with whoever they're playing. They're going to be the most focused they've been all year, Canyon Springs, easily, which brings us to a consensus on the other side. We both think it's going to be Sierra Vista Gorman for the third time this year. Look, we can say how Gorman blows out everyone, but both Sierra Vista games have been close. Sierra Vista had a lead in the second quarter, the first game, only lost by 10 the second game. Any chance that this is the time they break through and axe down Big Bad Gorman?
I highly doubt it, but what you see with Sierra Vista is that it plays to the level of its opponent. Almost beat Gorman, loses Spring Valley. Right? That makes sense? And I think why Sierra Vista's had some minor success against Gorman, and minor, I mean, you know, keeping it competitive late, is because point guard Vico, two guard Macy, Gorman, as we've discussed all year, doesn't have a one. Right?
It makes sense. Yeah. It adds up, right?
And that plays more into my, I think Canyon Springs has got more of a shot than you would think. If they eventually, and thankfully, and hopefully, and prayfully, meet for the finals. Right?
Right. And no surprises here. I'm taking Gorman, too. Gorman and Canyon Springs. Then I'm going to take Sierra Vista to beat Coronado and get the last spot in state against some whoever the Reno team is. I have no idea.
Okay. All right.
You agree? We have come to a consensus of the final three teams.
If Gorman's not, well, yeah. To be honest with you, I'm rooting for like an L-Dog Valley or Vegas to be the fourth team, because I think that, you know, they were part of that great 12, you know, back when I was a kid, when it was Shap Valley, L-Dog, Clark, Western, Bonanza, Basic, Gorman, you know? And I think high school sports is that much better when those Central Las Vegas teams make it. And, you know, like when L-Dog was in 2 or 3 years ago, they bust up like the whole school for the game. And it was so good for the kids in my barrio, my neighborhood. And I'm rooting like a dog for L-Dog or the Wildcats or the Vikings to do something, baby. I think it'd be so much more, because ultimately high school sports is about getting kids involved and having fun. And I think having a different type of kid involved and having fun makes it worthwhile. That's what I'm saying.
Rooting for the Vikings, even though you're taking them to lose to Foothill on Tuesday night.
I'm rooting for a team like the Vikings.
We'll close.
I'm L-Dog. I'm riding L-Dog, baby. The deuce.
We'll close with that. We'll be back next week to talk state. Thanks for listening.